Welcome back to the Indiscriminate News Network. I'm Jason St. Clair. All right, let's jump into it. So German paper doubles down on Oxford vaccine claims. Yesterday's extraordinary row over the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine has become even stranger. The German government spent much of Tuesday rubbishing reports that they found the jab to be only 8% effective among those 65 and over. A claim that was published by Dusseldorf-based financial paper Handelsblatt, following a tip-off from an anonymous source within the German government. Instead, according to the country's health ministry, there has been a very embarrassing misunderstanding. At first glance, it seems that the reports have mixed up two things. About 8% of those tested in the AstraZeneca efficacy study were between 56 and 69, but one cannot deduce an efficacy of only 8% with older people from that. Surely an open and closed case of mortifying mathematical misreading? So not according to Gregor Wachiski, the paper's political correspondent, whose byline appeared around 1,200-word story. He stuck by his reporting, saying the 8% efficacy figure had been shared with a senior figure within the German government, and that had been corroborated by other sources, that they're correct about the low efficacy rate. So it seems that Handelsblatt journalist is now betting his credibility on whether the vaccine will be approved by EU regulators. Decision by the European Medicine Agency is due Friday. And it's worth noting that the German paper Bild is also a story yesterday about the Oxford jab, again from an anonymous German government source. According to that paper, the EMA is planning to reject the UK-developed vaccine because of its low efficacy rate of those over 65. Interesting. So I'm going to go into another paper. This is independent.co.uk. So AstraZeneca pulls out of the EU meeting amid deepening row over COVID vaccine deliveries. AstraZeneca has pulled out from a meeting from the EU scheduled Wednesday to discuss COVID-19 vaccine supplies. The official added that EU keeps asking the company to provide further explanation about its announcement to cut vaccine deliveries in the EU in the first quarter. It comes amid escalating row from the EU Commission and the pharmaceutical giant, who on Tuesday confirmed that the UK would have the first claim on vaccines produced here. He told the Italian newspaper Repubblica that problems scaling up the vaccine production hit two plants, one in the Netherlands and the other in Belgium. It's complicated, especially in the early phase of where you have to really sort out all these issues. We believe that we sorted out those issues, but we're basically 2 months behind where we wanted to be. It sounds like there is a rift growing in the EU between the UK, or sorry, AstraZeneca's relationship with the UK and the rest of the EU. And it looks like it's spilling over to that German paper. And that German paper is reporting, oh no, it's no good, it's no good. I wonder if that German paper has something to do with AstraZeneca not having enough vaccines for the EU and having problems distributing it. These reports are one back to back one another, so it's hard to say that there's not any correlation here. I'm curious what is going on there. Okay. Let's see here. So Israeli's military chief talks operational plans against Iran. Let's see here. A return to the 2015 nuclear agreement, or even if it's similar accord, would several improvements is bad and wrong from an operational and strategic point of view, said Lieutenant General Amir Kovov said. So Israel's military chief Tuesday warned the administration of U.S. President Biden against rejoining the 2015 Iran deal. Even though it toughens its terms, adding he's ordered his forces to step up preparation for possible offensive action against Iran during the coming year. The remarks are an apparent signal to Biden to tread cautiously on diplomatic engagement with Iran. Such comments by Israel's military chief on staff U.S. policy meeting are rare and likely would be pre-approved by the Israeli government. Return to the 2015 nuclear agreement or even a similar accord with several improvements is bad and wrong from operational strategic point of view. So Israel is not happy at all with returning to that Iran deal. Biden's predecessor, Donald Trump, abandoned the nuclear agreement in 2018, a move that was welcomed by Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, who criticized the sanctions relief it offered and warned the likelihood of Iranian nuclear arms deal development after its expiration. Okay. Russia says nuclear arms pact with extension with the U.S. agreed on Moscow's turn. Russia and the United States have agreed to extend the new START nuclear arms control treaty on Moscow's term, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybakov said. The Kremlin on Tuesday said the two countries struck a deal to extend the pact signed in 2010 and set to expire next month, which limits the numbers of strategic warheads, missiles, and bombers that Russia and the United States can deploy. The Chinese Foreign Ministry Wednesday welcomed the agreement reached by Russia and the U.S., saying that its extension of the new START is conducive to maintaining the global strategic stability. Spokesperson Zhao Lejin said that he hopes the U.S. and Russia can further reduce their nuclear arsenals, fulfill their responsibility for nuclear disarmament, and create conditions for ultimate realization of good general and complete nuclear disarmament. So this is a, by the way, based out of a Chinese newspaper. So, all right, moving on there. Indonesia volcano unleashes a river of lava and gases in new eruption. Indonesia's most active volcano has erupted with a river of lava searing clouds following 1,600 meters down its slope. It was Mount Meripi's biggest lava flow since authorities raised its danger level in November. After morning rain, ashfall turned to muck. Several villages where the sound of eruption Wednesday could be heard 30 kilometers away. Police and rescue services told miners to cease work along the river, but no one was evacuated. Authorities in November had evacuated 2,000 people living near the mountain in Majalang and Sulaiman District on Java Island, but most have returned since. The 2,968-meter volcano is on the densely populated island of Java near the ancient city of Yogyakarta and is the most active of dozens of Indonesian volcanoes and repeatedly erupted with lava and gas clouds recently. Meripi's last major eruption in 2010 killed 347 people. We're finishing off here with Apple's first iPhone supplier in India stretched its workers too far and they snapped. This is from QZ.com. So on the night of December 20th, 2,000 workers from the night shift of Winston facility in the outskirts of India's IT hub of Bengaluru were leaving the building. Then violence broke out. They ransacked the office of a senior executive and looted thousands of iPhones and laptops, resulting in $7 million worth of damage and several arrests. Whoa. The rampage came after workers at the Narasapuro plant were underpaid for months. A government investigation revealed that several malpractices, and Apple has since pressed pause on business with a Taiwanese company. We have placed Winstron on probation and they will not receive any new business from Apple before they complete corrective actions. Apple employees, along with independent auditors, will monitor their progress.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. This could cause a slowdown in Apple's business, which only had just started gaining ground in India in 2020 with a more wallet-friendly Apple iPhone 11 and the launch of its new online store. It appears that Apple's first supplier in India has grown too big for its boots. The factory where the riots took place employs over 10,500 people. Managing that large workforce is a challenge it couldn't handle. When it introduced 12-hour shifts at the plant, up from earlier 8-hour shifts, it failed to properly address the confusion in the minds of workers about their new wages, inclusion of overtime, the government report said. Yeah, I'm sure it did. Some employees were angry in their compensation that wasn't what they're being offered upon hiring. For instance, Winston promised engineering graduates $285 per month, but then paid them $217. A government probe revealed that several other lapses, like the company did not inform the Karnataka factories department of new work shifts, a glitch in attendance. Okay. It was a glitch in attendance system causing employees presently to be incorrectly registered for 2 months. I'm sure it was. Underpayment of wages and contract workers of housekeeping staff and making women staff work overtime without legal authorization. The company's management and human resources teams were spread too thin to cope. Winston has since admitted and apologized for mishandling of wages and taking steps. I mean, come on, guys. How much freaking money does Apple need here? Like, they're just playing dumb. Like, they have nothing to do with it. The Winston probation is less than ideal for Apple's big plans of manufacture of 96 million iPhones worldwide in the first half of 2021. Already due to supply chain constraints amid the COVID-19 pandemic, Apple's Indian factories have shuttered for some months. Then it faced similar headwinds in China just last week when Apple suspended its business with Winston rival Pegatron after it was found to be exploiting student workers, and those are not one-off incidents. Apple's manufacturing facility have a history of labor law violations. Apple's a notorious reputation glazing over them. All right, everybody, thanks for listening to the Indiscriminate News Network. Host Jason Sinclair, take care. Make sure to hit that subscribe, follow button wherever you're listening. Thanks, bye.